Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
All about the click rate. All about the click through. Well,
new media phonies. We have a show title already.
Truth.
Are we recording?
Oh yeah, of course we are. Welcome to the Mac Show. This is the Weekend Macintosh, brought to you by six people who've spent the last 20 minutes talking about Lance Armstrong and why he's only got one nut.
I don't know who Lance Armstrong is, if I'm honest.
You got what? Will, go ahead.
I don't know who Lance Armstrong is. I really genuinely don't.
He won the Tour de France seven times.
You're way ahead of the game 14 months from now when nobody else will know who he
is. Part of the course. There we go.
You know, professional bike riders, he's the one.
Yeah, but he's like, the one, that's
don't
right.
Don't follow cycling at all, know his name. You know, everybody's little yellow wristband from about 5 years ago, that was Lance Armstrong.
But he's like Bradley Wiggins. He's like Bradley Wiggins, but his urine's more interesting to scientists. That's it. Right. The week in Macintosh.
Value of $800 pounds.
Yeah. EP's gold. That's a different show. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, Dom McAllister, who's been very quiet throughout the Lance Armstrong discussions. Is he a personal friend, mate? Have we touched a nerve there, no?
No, not at all. I had nothing to contribute, so I thought I'd just keep quiet and...
You've got a Joby Gorilla Pod in the back.
It's called a lawsuit. What's that?
You've got a Joby Gorilla Pod in the background.
Oh, this one. Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
GoPro.
It's a GoPro 3.
It is. It is. I've been having a play with it.
Ooh, look at you.
Wonderful.
GoPro. Is that your pick now?
No. Well, could be, I suppose. Yeah.
They're good.
Have a bit of time.
I've got the twos.
All right. No, so, well, when we were on the Mac Mania thing, Steve Sheridan had a GoPro, and actually a couple of the other guys there as well. Ivan did as well. And so lots of people taking great photos of the solar eclipse and underwater photos. And I thought, oh, that looks really nice.
Oh, yeah. So, wait till you get into accessory buying, mate. Then you'll regret it. Yeah, see.
They're not cheap, are they?
No, you buy one of those and you're 500 quid down in accessories to mount it.
Yes, I know. And industrial strength suction cup.
Wow. Oh, you bought the suction cup. That is really cool. I use that loads, mate. That is.
It's certified with 150 miles an hour to stick it on the outside of your car, but I don't know if it actually risks.
Yeah, I've got a video that I made of me driving back from Balham over Christmas, and I put the GoPros up in the car, and they were great. They shot time lapse. You got to mess with time lapse, mate, and get yourself a garden timer as well. Hang on a sec.
Talk amongst yourselves, eh?
I think it's adorable that he couldn't say the word testicles. That's just adorable.
Oh, there you go. Look, get yourself one of these. What's that? It's green, so it's not showing up on the video. Shit.
Okay.
The whole thing is green. Look, it's see through.
That's a trick.
That's very. Describe it then for our audio listeners.
Shit. It's green. It's crap. Don't buy it. Right.
Have you seen the video on YouTube of the trombone player with the GoPro?
That's awesome.
Yes.
Check it out. He sticks a GoPro on the end of his trombone, and actually, it's fantastic. Go and check it out.
Basically, this is a £9 water timer that you get from any garden place, and you stick your GoPro on the top with a piece of blue tack, turn the timer, and then put it on time lapse, and it does a panning time lapse. And it's a tenner. There you go. Next to him, we've got Carl Swagger. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Very well. Good week.
Good week.
I've got tears in my eyes from that thing not showing up on the video. It was too damn funny.
There you go. See, perfect. We love it. Oh, no, a phone call from Donna.
It's all right. I'm used.
That's the lawyers.
Don't worry. Now we've got a very special episode of the Mac Show next week, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, from this side of the pond. Yeah,
we've got a Filipino based.
We've got a
developer on.
Yes, from here in the Philippines. Yeah, we actually, I think it's pronounced Lulu is the name of the app. It's the number one app in the Philippines. So we'll have Peanut, yes, is her name on next week. And our old friend TJ Monantok will also be joining us next week from this side of the pond. So
excellent. Apparently that's Lance Armstrong calling, says Jim in the chat room. Next to Kyle. Andy Anatko's back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just well. Once again, I wish that I had video of this show. I can imagine how funny it was to hold up a green screen. Now I know that you do something green screen, because it's like, oh dear.
Well, you can still watch the thing. It's just slightly delayed. Just turn the sound down. But see, there you go. Look, I've got the easy cam things to do it, but I just haven't done it. I haven't had time. Sorry, I try hard.
Yeah, I love the GoPros too, because it is the classic. I need to take a picture in a place where normally I could not take a picture. So, and the it takes time lapse photos at amazing resolution. So when I was first testing them out like a year or two ago, I would just like set up like a dish of peanut butter on the railing of like my back porch, set up a GoPro up there for about like 8 hours taking pictures. And yes, most of them are pictures of a plate in a backyard, but like 80 of them would be like squirrels just like, you know, going to town on the peanut butter, or foxes and stuff. That's good stuff.
It is. Time-lapse is
really
great.
It cuts down my usual staring out the window at my backyard time down to about 20 minutes from what used to be 6. Good. A productivity booster.
And you can wire them up for remote monitoring as well, so you can see the time-lapse as it's being captured from your lounge.
Now it connects to your iPhone. You can get remote triggers. It's so easy to do like a really great successful product for nerds. It's not about the iPhone like styling. It's not about like Android like flexibility. It's about, oh, give us all these accessories we can then buy. Oh, there's another back that gives us a second battery. Oh my, I've got to order that too.
Mate, I've got six extra batteries.
You mean there's a mount that lets you put it on the scope of a gun? Oh, I don't have a gun, but I've got to have the gun mount for it. Isn't that clever? It's like, oh dear.
Do they do a gun mount?
They've got a mount for everything. Like, you really, and what people don't know is that not only do they give you like a couple of decent mounts, they also give you just like in the box like a handful of raw mounts that just have like sticky double back. You can essentially turn anything you have into a mount for this camera, and then it goes to, well, what if I were to? We're supposed to be getting a lot of rain tomorrow. What if I were to put the GoPro at the bottom of like the drain spout, so that I could see the rain coming through the drain? Don't know how that would turn out. I know it would take me about 50 minutes to do. Let's mount the camera there and see what happens.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what happens. That goes through my brain every week. Next to Andy, we've got Kelly. How you doing, girl?
Hi. I'm okay. I'm a little distracted because it turns out that Andy brought his robot skeleton sidekick this week, and I didn't know I was going to get to appear with Jeff Peterson on any program ever, so I am ridiculously excited.
Yeah, what is that picture of, Andy?
That is Craig Ferguson's robot skeleton sidekick on his talk show, Jeff Peterson.
Excellent.
Who went on The Price is Right, which is why he has the name tag, which is why he is appropriately labeled.
Exactly. He was actually built by Grant Imahara from Mythbusters.
Ah. We never knew that. You see, we don't get that show over here. That's why. Next to Kelly, DHM on Blocky Vision. How you doing, mate? I've got to say, pal, you look ridiculously like Gary Glitter at the minute.
Gary Glitter?
Yeah, no, it's not good video. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry, I'll keep still.
I have to admit, when you compare something to Gary Glitter, poor quality video is not the first
thing. No, exactly. No. That's not what I was saying. I was just saying, with the poor quality video, you look scary as hell. There we go. That's what I meant to say. And I was talking about Gary Glitter from the 70s.
Where on earth are you broadcasting from today?
The spare room.
The spare room.
What, on
You're
Mars?
Not even allowed in the curtain factory anymore?
No, curtain factory's machines on the ground, and it's a snow day here, so the girls are home from school, so everything's piled up downstairs. So I've ended up dead in the spare room.
Could you kill the video, mate? Because A, it's disturbing, and B, it's crap anyway. We might as well just get better audio.
Yeah.
That'd do. Finally, last but by no means least, on equally crappy video, it's Will Green.
Right.
Are you sharing Dr. Happy Mac's Wi-Fi or something?
Well, I think we're all... I was
country types or number of Snowden.
I don't know. You know what? This is the British Tech Mac Show. We've got fantastic audio from the Philippines and two feet from America and the two British guys.
See, this is NHS. You know, you go for the government control instead of letting the free market give you internet service.
Single payer internet. Over here,
exactly. Single payer internet.
Have you guys gone to video?
Get fiber optics, 76 megs down, 20 up from the 31st of March.
Well, it can't come soon enough. That's all I can say. The week in Apple. I thought we could get this over and done with pretty quickly. Apparently, stocks of cinema displays are dwindling on the rumour that they're about to be updated.
Thank you, Ewan. Thank you for buying that one. Thank you.
Yay!
It's about time.
Yeah. So, anyone got anything they want to add to that story? Come on, get it over with.
Rumour.
It's a rumour. Don's just trying to make you feel better.
It's just a rumour. You know damn well there's new Max. There's new cinema displays coming. Andy, you're going to tell me you know that there's new cinema displays coming, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to tell you that there are new cinema displays going.
Okay.
It would upset you. It would cause a panic. I'm not here to do that.
All I can do...
Yes or no, Andy? Yes or no answers only from you today.
It was a culture of upgrading cinema displays. If I wanted to simply be competitive with other columnists, I had to do what other columnists were doing, which unfortunately led to a complex map of deceit, abuse of chemicals, and lying to congressional subcommittees, and suing people over whom I had power, and controlling the careers of people who were promising other journalists.
So what's the rumor then?
The rumor is that in January, come February, there will be new cinema displays from Apple.
Well, there's no big news there, is it?
Well, it is, because I bought one just before Christmas on the say-so of Kelly. Because Kelly said, yes, but well, it's a fantastic display. No, because I wasn't going to buy it. And then Kelly said, but it's a... Stop, don't be silly. It's a fantastic display. At the end of it, you will have that gorgeous display. Whether they upgrade it or not, you will still have that gorgeous display. And I have. I've got just to my right here, I've got an obsolete 27-inch cinema display that I purchased thanks to that speech. It was like the speech at the end of the American president. It was that persuasive.
Can I use my Oprah killer. Voice
now,
with you?
Am I wrong? Is it beautiful?
It's beautiful, Kelly. It is beautiful.
And when a new one comes out, is it going to automatically be less beautiful, or is it only going to be a switch that gets flipped in your nerdy little tech-acquiring mind?
That's going to be less beautiful. There's no question of that. Don't be silly.
I think we're all honest, aren't we? I mean, if you buy something new comes out, and you just bought it, you're pretty peed off, aren't you? Let's be honest. whatever it is, a new pair of welly boots or a new screen or whatever, it's going to upset you a little bit, isn't it?
Well, this is the Oprah moment that I hope that you and all the other listeners should embrace. That when you buy a brand new Apple product, all Apple can give you is that product. They can't give you happiness. They can't give you self-esteem. They can't give you a sense of control over your environment. Those things have to come from within. And you get guaranteed next day delivery, if not
they,
earlier.
They know what they're working on. And they're duped for you into buying this crappy old display. Something for about, what, I did in 1997. And there he is. He's got it. And now they're going to release a new one. And it's left with this piece of junk.
if it is a new display, I mean, they're not going to add any additional functionality. It will just be a form factor change. It'll just be one of the thinner displays. And who needs it? You know, because it's just going to be thinner. That's all. It'll still be the same 27 inch.
All I really want to know, honestly, is Ewan, since you've got that now, and since we know that now it's safe to get the new one when it comes out later in a few weeks, when are you going to be getting a new MacBook? That's what we really want to know.
No, it's okay. I give everyone enough shit, so I figured I'd leave you guys with enough opportunity to give me some. So there we go. I'm quite happy with it. It is a gorgeous display. Kelly's absolutely right, and I don't regret buying it. I just regret buying it now instead of buying it in 2 weeks' time. No. Go on. Sorry, Will.
I was going to say, in all seriousness, I can't imagine how they would... as Don says, they can make it thinner, I suppose. And maybe they can add a few more ports, but what more can they do? I mean, what is there to do?
Well, they can make it cheaper to manufacture. They can make it a little not thinner to make it to make it for a real design reason, but so they can pack more of these units and in every shipping container to reduce shipping costs.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes when they redesign a thing like a screen, where like you say, there's really nothing they can really do outside of improving the quality of the display, which is already really really good. All they can do is do some trick to make it cheaper to manufacture and increase their profits.
So. Mind you, there is also and I hate to say this, Ewan, but that actually I've just thought of something. There is something different with the 27-inch iMac, and that's the reflectiveness.
La 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 la
of the new iMac. So if they bring out a new cinema display, it's going to be thin like the new iMac, and it'll be less reflective. But it'll still be beautiful, the one you've got. I mean, I've got two of them, so, you know.
Yeah, but you bought yours 4 years ago.
Yeah, about 6 months ago.
If they bring a new product out, you've got 28 days. If they bring a new product out within 28 days of you splurging your wedge, you can take it back and they'll swap it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It'll be 29, you watch. I'm with Jobs. I mean, you know, if you wait for the next iteration, you'll never buy the one that's available. And he's absolutely right. I just wish he'd waited a little bit longer. That'd be fine.
See, today, Ewan, when we get to sort of our age, you know, you've got to tell every day as it comes. And so, you know, if you hadn't had that display, you'd be dead tomorrow. So, look, you've got it.
Thank you for helping me look on the bright side, Will.
And then your family would have more money to spend on your final burial expenses, as opposed to having another piece of crap they never now have to.
You're kidding, dude. I want to be chopped up and put inside that thing.
They carry it all with you.
Take it. Oh, everything's coming with me, absolutely. My will says that the place is going to be gutted. Right, new Mac Minis then. That happened. We've got new Mac Minis kicking around, and Don went and bought one. And
Don bought a mini.
He bought an updated mini, and Don, quick review. But from what I understand, you said it's the dogs.
Yeah, it's really, really good. The reason behind it was that my Retina MacBook Pro has actually gone into the repair shop to get a new screen fitted to it, and they wanted to keep it for a week. And I said, well, I can't really give it you for a week. I'll need to sort out a replacement. So I've been looking for a reason to buy a Mac Mini for ages, and that was the reason. So I ended up getting a Mac Mini to act as my sort of hot standby replacement for when the MacBook Pro's back and it goes funny again. So it's an i7 quad-core, and I've got 16 gig of RAM from Crucial rather than the Apple RAM, and I went with a 1 terabyte Fusion drive, which is a solid-state drive and the traditional spinning drive. And it's great. It's, to be honest, I've been using it I've had it for about a week or so, and I've sort of built it up from a clean build. And the laptop went into the shop yesterday, so I've been using it for 24 hours, and I can't really tell the difference between that and the laptop. It's the performance is that good.
Really?
The only thing I've noticed, literally the only thing I've noticed, and I've been doing production stuff, you know, I've been producing the shows and editing and encoding as well. I did a ton of encoding with it yesterday. The only difference I noticed was I use Fission for some audio transcoding. And when you load a file in Fission, it gives you a waveform. And on the laptop, the waveform appears within half a second, you know, it renders the waveform, it reads the file and renders the waveform. And perhaps it took a second or half a second on the MacBook Pro. And it took perhaps a second and a half on the Mac Mini. So that's the only difference I've actually seen, you know, just rendering that waveform. I actually did some testing of Handbrake encoding, and it matched it. It was it's literally the same.
That's really impressive, because the one thing that the Mac Mini's always lacked against all the other models is the graphics card. The graphics card has always let it down very, very badly.
That's probably why the rendering of the waveform wasn't as quick, because it is an integrated graphics device on the Mac Mini, but you know the raw power of the CPU is fantastic, and it's a great machine. The amount of ports on the back as well, you know, all USB ports now, is USB 3. It's got the Mac, it's got the Thunderbolt port on the back. It's got HDMI out as well. It's a great machine,
and still got FireWire, hasn't it?
Well, Don goes under the desk. Andy, have you had one for review, or have you had a play on them?
No, I haven't played with the Mac Mini yet. I like the idea of it. I'm just not sure if the regular like Mac users are the ones who like prefer an all-in-one like an iMac. But I mean, the secret of the Mac Mini has always been that, man, you open up every single data closet and you'll see, you know, like racks and racks of Blade servers, but always one or even two Mac Minis side by side, which is either the front end to all their web servicers, because the people who maintain those would much rather use a Mac interface to control the whole network, or it's actually running something that's really mission critical, where we need something more reliable than this really, really expensive network closet system to make sure that we can provide services in the worst of situations. So,
now, by the way, that's Don's closet he's talking about.
Don's closet is full of old Macs, mate. It's where they all go to die.
Which I'd never done before.
Dresses.
I did.
Sing!
Oh man! Are we going to get to a state where I can't have you two on the same podcast anymore? I just want to, for the purposes of legal, because Don's got shitloads of money, mate. The slur about the dresses is purely fictional.
What I was about to say, the first thing I tried, well, first off, I migrated my account to it, and then I decided to rebuild it from scratch. So I actually use the internet rebuild feature, which is amazing, actually. It works really well. It's where you boot up the Mac Mini, anything with Mountain Lion, you can boot it up, a modern Mac, hold down a couple of keys, and it will actually boot and download some stuff from the internet, and you can actually do an internet-based restore. So there were no separate boot partition, no disks, because obviously it hasn't got a CD drive or a DVD drive, but you can actually boot from the internet and then restore it and just rebuild the machine like magic. It's really good.
Excellent.
It's really good.
That is
it used to be NetBoot, didn't it? I mean, it's still there, but when you connect to a Mac server, NetBoot is the same thing. So I assume it's the same thing, but over the internet.
Yeah, very, very same.
Now, Kelly, we had an email during the week. Someone pointed you towards SmartCard.
Yes.
So HyperCard last week, the HyperCard porn thing went down very well. But you've now got to get a hold of SmartCard, haven't you?
Not yet. I saw it go by, and I've been really busy between work and not work, because we actually get to go sign papers to close the house today.
Woo.
So, it's been kind of a long week. I haven't had a chance to play with it yet, but I'm super, super, super excited.
I thought SmartCard is a PC. I think it stopped development like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, you can still run it, apparently. We've had a few people write in with emails and tweets pointing Kelly in the right direction. But apparently it's still perfectly functional, mate.
Ah.
So you may want to go out there yourself and get excited. Get that lard out of the fridge.
But don't you love the retro crap? I mean, I Christmas present, I had a Palm Z22.
You had a Palm what?
Z22.
That was your Christmas present?
That's my Christmas.
Was that like £3 off eBay?
10 years now. What? It's brilliant. It's a little tiny palm thing. I've never had palm before. I've always been a science man. But I love like exploring retro computers. And that was my Christmas present. A Palm Z22.
So that's proving it's the thought that counts more than anything. Absolutely.
It's rubbish, actually. I wouldn't recommend it.
Don't tell her that, though. God.
I know. It's the awful thing. Yeah, you know where you
are. Is Birmingham about to get a huge pyramid with all of you and Rankin's crap in it? Thank you very much, Pat Winch. Very kind. Thunderbolt, there was an article by a bloke called Forsman on Ars Technica. Never heard of him before myself. But he said, with licensing and cost issues, can Thunderbolt break out of its niche? Enthusiasm may have waned, but the technology should spread in 2013. I mean, we had a brief kind of spat on this a couple of months ago, but is Thunderbolt a dead technology in effect because of the fact that Intel's been so slow to respond to the market and so difficult to get things out?
30 years, Rankin. How many times have I said that it's dead in the water?
I'm asking the question, is it dead in the water?
Of course it is. That's what I'm telling you for years. You don't have to ask that question.
Well, I think the Will's right. I think it is dead in the water. And the reason I think it is that the last iteration of the MacBook Pro, when they said, right, we're going to put USB 3 in here, and they put those USB 3 ports into the technology, I thought that kind of smacked a little bit of Apple going, well, this is Intel's technology. They've screwed us on this. They're not pushing it out as fast as we want it, and we're hedging our bets and going with the USB 3 dual option because Thunderbolt's dead in the water. Thunderbolt is not dead in the water.
I think what they're doing is, first off, they're giving the consumers what they want. I think we're all going to have this USB 3.0. It's all going there, so why not Apple put it in their first place? Secondly, you're going to get 3.0 on your system then, and then you're going to have the Thunderbolt, and in the cases, I think you're going to start seeing stuff come down in prices, that things have become a lot more readily available for people to enter, you know, to use the Thunderbolt experience with it, and I think they'll figure out that, hey, this is a better experience than 3.0 is, but you can only do that with a Mac, and it's going to be one of these things where I think they're going to keep it for a while just in the Mac community, in the Apple zone, honestly.
I think that they had some problems going in where Apple is going to start supporting USB 3.0 once they upgraded to that new generation of Intel chips, where if you're designing hardware, you get USB 3.0 for free. So if you're going to put, if you're going to not put 3.0 ports on your computer once you have these new generation CPUs in there, you really are flipping the middle finger at whoever it is who wants 3.0. That's the only reason why you wouldn't put it on there. And as you said, it's right now it's a Mac only thing. And this is one of the times in which we're reminded that the Mac is really a small part of the market. And until Apple can come up with a good until really the industry can come up with a good reason to tell users that 3.0 is not fast enough for what you want to do, here is something you can do with a Thunderbolt drive that you cannot do with the USB 3.0 drive, it's just going to be that sort of nameless bus expansion thing. I'm glad it's there. I mean, I don't think it was a failure because it allows even a $999 only an Apple can we call the $1,000 laptop the budget model laptop, but the cheapest model that they have can have access to just professional quality like bus expansion. So whatever you want to do down the line that requires really high speed communication with the CPU hardware, you can have that just because you happen to have a port. Your monitor port doubles as a high speed data port. But at this point, I don't necessarily think it was doomed to failure from the start. No. I just think that if it were really going to catch on to the point where almost any drive that you want would be available as a Thunder drive option at the top of the model range, that certainly would have happened by now, because every single Mac made in the past couple of years now has Thunderbolt. So it would have caught on by now. So it's going to have to find a new role.
You say down the line, but there's going to be nothing for it. There's no point for it.
No, there is. Ask Don. Don's got plenty for it.
Yeah. No, the thing is with Thunderbolt, it's still early days. And, you know, it's still early days. They're still bringing out they're still enhancing the technology. I mean, and if you look at the speed difference between USB 3 and Thunderbolt, I think USB 3 maxes out at 5 gigabits per second, whereas Thunderbolt is, I think it's 10, but it's dual channel as well. And it's you know, it's both ways. So even now, there's some benefits to Thunderbolt if you've got the peripherals to do it. But, you know, there's future plans. The Thunderbolt cables we're using now, they're not optical. They're just, you know, the copper, although they've got lots of chips and they're very expensive. But eventually we will get the optical cables through, and that will even increase the speed.
See, I mean, I love all of the idea of what you've just said there, Don, and I agree absolutely. But
it's the future.
Well, the problem I've got in my head, though, is that technology or the success or failure of technology is decided by the mob. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, the mob is looking at the technology. And if you're talking about data transfer rates, they are looking at, I drag this file from this box to this box, how fast does it transfer? And actually, the difference between what it currently is at 6 megabits a second and 6 gigabits a second and 5 gigabits a second between the two, they can't tell the difference. And if you go back in history, the Betamax versus VHS issue, which everyone always harks back to, but that was exactly this process. Betamax was infinitely superior, far, far better technology, much more expensive than VHS. What one VHS did, because of that fact that it never capitalized on its benefits. And Thunderbolt is superior. I'm never going to disagree with you on that, Don. It is superb. But it is not capitalizing on its benefits over USB 3. And that's
not
the problem.
So much, though, because it is still very much a pro technology, isn't it? You know, we're still sort of looking at the pros who need the fast data through. And the peripherals are there if you have the need. You know, there's lots of audio and video. Not so many audio, but certainly on the video side of it, you know, lots and lots of Thunderbolt-enabled stuff and storage as well, if you want that performance. But, you know, over time, I think we will see the price drop. We will see more, you know, gadgets being made.
What was that, Will?
Obviously, Will's not on a Thunder Chicken connection right now, as you can tell.
Kyle, we need every ounce of bandwidth. Will, what did you say?
No.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder why there is going to be a price drop. It's because nobody, well, because they're going to sell them off. You know, you can get them on eBay for nothing. Let's be honest. I mean, Thunderbolt was a fudge, wasn't it? The technology wasn't really.
Yeah.
So it should have been.
I got to say, Will, the problem with you today is I'm not sure whether the crap that you're talking is actually coming out of your mouth or whether it's the line that's dropping it.
No, well, it should have been it should have been lasers, shouldn't it? But it ended up with copper, and it's a fudge.
It should have been lady, but it ended up with popper.
Laser, no, optical.
Kelly, you've got to learn to make great points out of your mouth rather than in the chat room, Mrs. What were you saying there?
I was trying to save bandwidth so we could hear Will. Mac and Windows. It didn't matter which was better. It mattered what everybody had. And I know that this is going to sound like a dumb thing, but my guess is that USB is going to end up winning this for the same reason that people hate lightning cables right now, which is I have all of these other things that use this USB end, and they will all plug into the new faster port. And when I buy new stuff, the new stuff is all going to use the same port. And unless you're a Mac user that already has a couple of $29 white plastic majiggers from Apple that stick in the Thunderbolt port, you probably don't have anything Thunderbolt. And I remember back in the day when SCSI was the super fast high-end plug you had in the side of your Mac, that if you had a PC, you had to buy a special couple hundred dollar card in order to use something SCSI that was high speed. So I think this really could, at this point, go either way. And I think that's going to be the thing that determines it. Because honestly, everybody's so used to USB right now that if you give me a USB port that is magically faster and I don't have to know anything about it or do anything, I can just plug something in and it's going to work.
You have an incoming call from Will Green.
Will dropped off, sorry.
I do. More importantly, if I take that 3.0 device and plug it into a 2.0 port and it fails over gracefully, you know, falls back to whatever the 2.0 speed is going to be, I think that's going to be why it wins. And that's dumb, but I think it's for the mob, for muggles, as I always say. That's going to be what does the trick, is I don't have to do anything extra in order to use this. I don't have to, only some of my computers have this. Only some of my computers are, you know, Thunderbolt compatible. Oh, I thought it was Thunderbolt, but really that's just a DisplayPort. So I think it could cause more trouble for people the way, not the troubleshooting piece that SCSI had, but just from a logistical perspective. This doesn't look like anything on my computer. I'm not going
to
buy it.
I just want to point out as well, for safety reasons, we're not allowed to use the term SCSI on this because it gets DHM rather excited. So it's a banned term.
I want to point out that one of the reasons that that VHS Triumph over Betamax was not ubiquity. It was the fact that there was Sony, who owned Betamax, wouldn't allow the licensing of porn onto Betamax videos.
Everybody knows that.
I don't think that's the only reason.
But I think there's a lesson for Apple very much in there.
It's all got nothing to do with Thunderbolt. Let's move on. Kyle.
To make Thunderbolt vagina accessories, is that what you're asking?
No, moving on. Kyle.
Actually, Dr. Happy Max, DHM has a point there. It is one of the reasons why VHS took off is because the porn industry embraced it. That's true. But the thing... Blu-ray. What's that?
They went Blu-ray instead of HD DVD. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I agree. You know, that's another thing, too. So it... I don't think there's going to be a winner. I don't think there's going to be a loser. There's going to be two. And I think you're going to see Apple branch out on this. I think you're going to start seeing these things on PCs. I think you're going to start seeing the connections elsewhere, because I think the market is going to become to a place where there's going to be a demand for it. That is, you're going to see it's more versatile than USB 3.0 ever was. You're going to see, oh, I can do that, or I can plug that in there, oh, I can do that. And I think when the consumers get that idea, and it will come. And it doesn't just have to be a Mac. It's not just on a Mac, and they actually license it out to other things. That's when it's going to take off. And that's honestly what I see happening. I think you're going to start seeing Apple products, which we all love. We love our iPads. And though we may sync it over Wi-Fi, there's still times when, especially when you want to do a backup on the thing, where USB 3.0 or 2.0, it ain't going to cut it. And you're going to have that cut time in half or more by using Thunder Chicken.
Yeah, but that's not a feature that like mainstream people are really going to appreciate. It's like when you have two cars side by side. At least I'm going to use United States speeds.
We do miles per hour.
But it's like you have two cars side by side. On one, you see the speedometer goes all the way up to 100. On another one, you see the speedometer goes all the way up to 150. Yes, the other one is faster, but I really don't spend a lot of time tooling down I-95 at 120 miles an hour, double the legal speed limit, because that's not just being chased. That speed, you're not just being chased by state troopers. You're being chased by helicopters.
Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly. So that's not a speed difference that's really relevant. For the same reason, Thunderbolt is way, 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 way faster. Very few people transact that kind of data where they will actually see it. They might do a backup, and it's still going to take so long that they're not going to sit there and wait for it to finish. So it's definitely a speed advantage. It's definitely a better standard. But when it's not so visible that people are going to be overlooking the fact that, well, here's my, if I want a 2 terabyte drive that fits in my pocket. Here is one drive. Here are 8 different drives I can choose from that are USB 2.0. Here are 5 that are USB 3.0. Here is one that is Thunderbolt at a cost for some reason $120 more. And they're not even going to consider Thunderbolt. But yeah, I do think you're right that licensing is going to play an issue once you let people just put it on whatever device they want and figure out how to make it cool. Then that person's going to help you sell this thing. When you try to say, after consideration and evaluating your paperwork, we have decided that, congratulations, you are worthy of producing a Thunderbolt peripheral. Huzzah!
It is, no, absolutely.
Let people build cool stuff.
It's doomed. We all know it's doomed.
No!
No! I've been saying that from the very start.
No, Kelly,
I tell you what, problem with Apple, they... No, right. I'm on my own when you go to like a presentation, and you take your MacBook, and then you've got to get the mini bloody DisplayPort adapter to VGA to plug it into the projector, and everybody else with a PC has just got like a regular VGA port on the side of their computer. What a pain in the bloody ass Apple is sometimes. Is it me? Why don't they just go along with standards? Why do they have to try continually to reinvent these standards and to make new stuff? Well,
have you met Apple?
Let's have a VGA port on the side.
Because you can charge more. Go ahead.
Apple is legitimately great because they feel as though they want to build exactly the products that they want to build. And they're not so stupid as to build things that nobody will want to buy. But if they really think that it's embarrassing to put a chunky VGA port or even a slightly chunky but incredibly useful Ethernet port on the side of something, but they would much rather make something a little bit thinner and more stylish, that's what they're going to do, because they never want to make a product that they don't want to make, that they don't feel is really, really cool. I've been... In 2012, I was forced to write several times about how stupid that attitude can possibly be, and how it sometimes hobbles an otherwise nice product. I mean, I still can't get over the fact that Apple's selling a $2,300 notebook that can't connect to the Ethernet unless you cough up another $40 for a dongle. But I mean, it's a signature difference between the Windows world and the Mac world. The Windows world essentially says, come up with a list of what you want in a laptop or in a desktop. Well, I guarantee you there's going to be a model almost exactly like that out there. And it's good to have that sort of choice. And I'm embarrassed for the Mac community when you occasionally see blog posts by people who saying, oh, look, Sony put a VGA port on the side of their notebook. Fail. Like, no, that's a useful feature that allows me to travel with one less thing and makes it. Why is that a fail? Look how thick it is. Yeah, it's about one magazine thicker than a MacBook Air, and it costs half as much. Is it me? Do I not know?
No, it's a fair point. Absolutely.
In, in, in the real world, the amount of times I've left my home and had to drive to my studio to get this crappy connector,
yeah,
allowing me to connect to a VGA, and it cost me time and it cost me money, and I only said the VGA thing as an example. But I think they're doing exactly the same thing with the other ports. Why don't they standardize? I think sometimes they've got to say, okay, we're wrong. Well, you know, we've got this technology, but the cheaper computer manufacturers aren't going to take it on board. So we need to go with them. That's all I'm saying. I might be bitter. I might be old, but there it is.
No, I agree with you. It's like whenever I go through my bag of like bag O cables and adapters, every single VGA to Thunderbolt adapter that I own is another incident in which I thought that I'd put it in my bag, but I arrived at the place where I'm supposed to speak without that thing and was forced to run out, not to just any old store, but to an Apple store to find this specific adapter that would only work with this one thing. I think I have got three of them at this point. And every one of them is, that's $30. I could have spent on a really nice meal in this exciting city that I'm visiting just for 2 days. But no, you had to leave your VGA adapter in the hotel room. And that's why I'm not predisposed to hate Sony or Asus or any of these other PC manufacturers for putting VGA connectors on laptops.
The number of brand new data projectors that you come across that are still VGA standard, they haven't got any other option to it. They haven't even gone to HDMI or DVD, DVI.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think. I think when Apple takes their eye off the ball, this is the sort of thing they tend to lose sight of. That most of the places where I speak at, yeah, there is HDMI if you want to use it. Some of them even have... Some even have an Apple TV that has AirPlay on it if you want to connect to it that way. But the reason why VGA is supported is because we don't need resolution greater than better resolution than the human eye can resolve from a distance of 15 feet from a screen.
Yeah.
And for that reason, the fact that VGA is VGA is well understood. Every single device either supports it natively or has an inexpensive adapter that can support it. That makes it a valuable standard. You don't want something better than from an engineering perspective, you can define that this new standard is better than the old one, but the humans who are actually going to use it might have a different definition of the word better, and just simple predictability and ubiquity and functionality can be really what they're valuing more than just simple beating bullet points on a table.
Yeah, mark my words. They will not pluck Thunder Chicken.
It's nothing.
Apparently, someone in the chat room.
Cats.
No, Thundercats. No.
James Bond will return in Thunder Chicken 2014 summer.
Apparently, someone's bought donscloset.com.
Yay!
Which is going to be phenomenal if it ever gets up and running. And apparently Thunder Chicken is a porn star on donscloset.com. So there you go. Already.
It might have been me.
Wow. Someone filmed a porno right one during this show. That is a devoted following for British Tech Pack. That is incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all going very, very meta very quickly.
Apparently, next generation iPads and iPad minis are rumored for launch in March. Do you want to get this over and done with?
I didn't buy one. I didn't buy anything.
You didn't buy an iPad mini?
No.
You fool. You fooled, Judah.
Really foolish.
You are a fool because that is... I mean, my iPad 3 now is on the hover bar. And the only reason I wrote to Andrew at 12 South and said, my hover bar's crap. And he said, no, we don't make crap. I'll send you a new arm. And he sent me a new arm and it's hovering perfectly now. But my 3 just hovers on the desk. I don't even use it anymore, apart from to watch Sky TV on. The day-to-day, carry it around, do my swing on, is an iPad mini, mate. If you buy one, you will never go back.
I've heard that from so many people, and I would never have predicted that myself. I am informed, I am chastened, I am educated, I am chagrined. Because every time that I know someone who is a diehard iPad user who, you know, spent $900 for the iPad 1 and stayed up all night to be first on the waiting list to place their order, they say that I don't get it myself, but like I almost never use my full size iPad anymore. It's just too big and it's too chunky and this does what I want it to do. There are a lot of reasons why I think that it's a scary 2013 is a scary year for Apple, and one of them is realizing that. It turns out that I think Apple did get it wrong with the iPad. that people it became a huge success because it's a great product. But as soon as they came out with a smaller version of it, I think that it's more likely that this is really what people wanted. That the focus and the movement of consumers isn't towards like large tablets. It's towards here. I've got this recharging. It's like devices like the Galaxy Note 2 here, which I ridiculed like privately when it first came out last year, because who wants this huge tablet? Huge phone. But the more you use this mid-sized thing that's larger than a conventional phone, it could do more than a conventional phone, but it's still not something that you have to carry around in a separate bag. It really transforms everything. So I wonder what's going to happen when they find themselves competing, when they have to build things like this that are going to be competing with, okay, I don't have that handy, but with things like the Nexus 7, which can do 80% of what this can do at less than 80% of the price and smaller and has GPS for free. Interesting,
isn't it? Do you think that they are wanting a smaller device, or do you think it's that customers want to get into an iPad for less than $500?
I really don't know, because I know a lot of people who went very easily into a Nexus 7, went very, very easily into a Kindle Fire. If they were lucky enough to live in countries in which those things can be purchased, it turns out that they didn't necessarily want the entire ecosystem of the iPad. What they wanted was they wanted the Kindle app. They wanted a Google Reader app. They wanted Evernote. They wanted these apps that are multi-platform by nature. And as more and more of these large apps are being mainstreamed, for lack of a better word, where they're being built so that it's the exact, instead of having two separate teams really developing two separate products for two separate platforms, they really develop one interface that they can then simply paste onto any device that they want. The differences between these two platforms is going to become not irrelevant, but less relevant than they seemed before. So, I mean, it's interesting.
Let's be honest. We all know the truth. Samsung is a better company than Apple at the moment.
For building refrigerators and rice cookers, I really like the idea of having the same logo on my laptop, on my notebook, on my phone, on my rice cooker, on my refrigerator, and my washer dryer. So for that, you really have to go for the Samsung.
Where's Will Green? What have you done with him?
I see what you mean. I love Samsung because they're not going to they don't get up on this keynote stage and say, "You're welcome. We have solved your problem by making all your choices for you. This is the exact right size and the exact right design." They said, "This is a little too small for you. Great, we'll make another one that's a little bit bigger. Buy that one. Oh, that's now too big. We'll make one that's even smaller than the original one. Great. We don't want to tell you what to do. We just want your money. Just give it." Tell us what you want to buy.
No, what they do is listen to the consumer. They listen to what people want. Apple tells the people what they want, whereas Samsung listens to.
No. Samsung deliver single price point in every single size and hope that someone likes one of them. I mean, Apple do focus in on a particular, you know, we think this is the best option, and they ship it. And you can't say they made a big mistake with the iPad because they were selling more than they could actually make. So
I didn't mean that they'd screwed up with it. I'm saying that we all assumed, certainly myself included, that they had built exactly what people wanted and were waiting for, but they didn't realize that they wanted. And the success of the iPad Mini and the success of less well designed 7-inch tablets, I think that leads. If not proves the conclusion, at least gives validity to the conclusion that no, the 10-inch iPad was not what people wanted, despite the fact Steve Jobs saying that if you know 7-inch tablets are worthless, no, 7-inch tablets are useless. It turns out that this was the specific thing that was going to speak most directly to consumers. So I don't think it was a failure. I'm just saying that if Apple had come out with the 7-inch or 8-inch iPad immediately, that would have been more on point to what people had been expecting and been wanting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Ewan on this in that, you know, when the iPad Mini came out, I thought, great, I'll get one because, you know, it will probably, when I go out, I'll use it and it'll be nice just to have around and use it. And, you know, it didn't have the Retina display when it came out. Well, fair enough, you know, I won't be using it that much. I actually use it as my main machine and my main iPad, and exactly the same as Ewan. I've hardly touched my iPad 3. I picked it up a couple of days ago just to, because I was conscious of the fact that I'm just not using that device. I'm blown away by the Retina screen again, but then, you know, after 5 minutes, I put it down and picked up my iPad mini and started using it. And that's the machine I use constantly at home. I'm really shocked how well I've sort of taken to it, and how, you know, I actually use it more than the original iPad, I think, as well.
Can I
ask you a question? That's how many iPads you've got, isn't it, Don? Your number.
Hang on. Andy, come back.
I just want to ask you a question. What do you use it for?
Mainly consumption, I have to say. Mainly RSS feeds, checking email, doing the occasional support call on the app that I've got for the support desk I've got. Twitter, not while I'm at my desk, when I'm away from my desk and in other parts of the house. Like, my morning routine is to, you know, cup of coffee, grab the iPad mini, look at the RSS feeds, check up on Twitter, check my emails and stuff. So it's I'm not actually doing lots of creative stuff on it. But then again, I don't suppose I did that much creative stuff on the iPad 3, to be honest. Yeah. But it's mainly a consumption device for me, I have to say.
I mean, that's what's so interesting. I think that people are using this more as a big phone. I mean, they want phone style apps, or at least the sort of stuff you use like a phone app, where you dip into it for minutes at a time, as opposed to being immersed in it, except for, you know, when you're just reading books. Whereas, I mean, what kind of blinded me is that I use my iPad as a real computer. It is the one machine that I travel with. When I'm gone for 10 days, it takes an act of God to get me to bring my MacBook with me anymore, because I want to do all my word processing, all my writing, all my research, everything on the iPad. Why wouldn't you, when you have stuff that's this small?
My question, Andy, is that a workflow thing? Because I'm very into what you've just said there, but for me as a photographer, the iPad can't hack it in the slightest because of the volume of the file sizes that I need to use and translate onto and touch and edit and then output onto a data stick. Is that because you're a writer, you find that it's hit your workflow, it's hit your sweet spot, if you like, as a computer to carry around, because you write, so that takes up less file space and it comes with a nice keyboard, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that I were a maverick power user, but for what I use a computer for every day, it is, you know, the basic four fruit groups. You got your email, you got your web, you have things that fall within the venue of Microsoft Office and basic entertainment. If you look very, very frankly at what you do with a computer and you realize that that's what you're spending 90% of your time on, suddenly you realize that I don't necessarily need a $2,000 computer. I don't necessarily need a $1,000 laptop, especially for if you're looking for something that is going to suit you for mobile use, where by definition, you're not necessarily taking your entire world with you, you know, when you're gone for a weekend, gone for a week, or just gone to the coffee shop to work in the afternoon. And this is just another ongoing chapter in this story that is just in my head about the vulnerability that Apple is might be facing in 2013, because are people really going to be interested in really expensive laptops that look like $1 million but and do a million things, or are they at the point of view where, well, you know what, I actually do have a really good $1,200 to $2,000 laptop at home. I just want a mobile device that can fill in the gaps and be a good four food groups computer when I'm outside the house. And maybe that's no longer going to be a MacBook Air for these people. Maybe that's not going to be an iPad for these people. Maybe it is going to be something as simple as, wow, this one has all the apps that I really, this $200 little tablet has all the apps that I want for it. I appreciate that there are advantages to an iPad, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get $130 worth of advantages to it. In the case of the Nexus 7, I'm not sure if I'm going to get something like $250, $260 worth of advantage to it if navigation is a big deal for you. It still kind of bothers me that Apple is charging $330 for this tablet and they didn't say, you know what, we're going to break out GPS. We're going to make GPS a built-in standard for this one, whether you're getting the data phone option for it or not. Because the times when you can take out a Nexus 7 and just hit GPS and get a fix on your location or get location aware information, that makes it, you know, not better than the iPad mini in general, but man, that's a very compelling data point if you're trying to decide between these two different devices.
Another thing that I think Andy touched on there, and it kind of leads to another story too, is like last year was one of the worst year for PC sales. I mean, it was just down. Apple did well with their line, of course, but And I think Andy hit on it right there. People are in a state of mind now where I check my email, I browse the web, I'm on Twitter, I like Facebook, I like a little app here and there, I like to play games. Well, the iPad does it for me. And I think that's why they've hit that market where, hey, I've got a Wi-Fi connection in my house. This is all I really need. I don't want to be sat in front or have a hot notebook on my lap all day long. It's a perfect thing for me. And I'm still not convinced, though, with the Mini, to be honest, though. I'm still not convinced with it. I feel it's a price point right now. They'll obviously get... What's that?
I was going to say, I think the price is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'd buy a Mini at any price. But I think the fact that the Mini is cheaper means that in March, if they upgrade the iPad, I'd go, keep it. If you upgrade the Mini, I'm buying it already. Mm-hmm. Because
that's what I was going to say. If it will come out with the Retina, that's a given. That's a given. I think when that happens, I think you're going to see people more like personally, like myself, that will go more to it. Because personally, when I look at the new iPad with the Retina on it, and I look at the Mini, I'm going with the other one. I still like the looks of that screen better, and screen resolution is important to me. But I think more people out there, particularly right now, the reason why the Mini has become so popular was the price point. But look, I think what's going to happen is they're going to do with the Mini like they've done with the iPads. They're going to come out with a Retina version. It's going to be $329, but you looked at the Mini that you have right now will go down to like $249, which is the price it probably should have been in the first place.
The Retina thing, I don't get that at all because it's 10 ppi, and I really don't think that most people over the age of 25 can define 10 ppi.
The thing with the Mini screen, though, which I think is a stroke of genius, is they've stayed with the 4:3 ratio, and they've made the size of the device smaller than you would expect for the size of the screen. We were all expecting the iPad Mini to have the same bezel around the outside, but what they've done is they've kept the 4:3. They've reduced the bezel down the side, so the machine is a lot slimmer, but you still get this quite large screen for a small device.
Yeah,
and, you know, the Retina really isn't... As soon as I saw it, I said, the Retina's not going to be a problem. The lack of Retina's not going to be a problem. Because, yeah, you know, it's still nicer than the iPad 2 screen. And
I think it wouldn't be a problem if Apple had decided to adjust the user interface to match the smaller screen. When I'm reading stuff through the Kindle app, and again, comparing it with something like the Kindle Fire or the Nexus 7, which has a much higher density screen, side by side, if you were doing a side by side comparison, yes, the higher density screen looks much, much better. But it's not the sort of thing where if you get this out of the box, if you're not really doing a side by side comparison, you wouldn't say that you will adjust the screens, the font size so that it's comfortable for your eyes. But you wouldn't say, oh, this screen looks like crap. But because they're scaling down a standard iPad app by 80%, there are so many elements and so many different apps where things that were a little bit small to begin with are now really hard to read. When I'm in the app store, the labels for the store sections are, you really have to, what do these things say? And you can't really make them out because they're that tiny and that blurry. When you have things like the close box on a search bar that now just, it's hard to tap. Usually it takes me 2 or 3 tries before I can actually get at it. And it's usually a case of, like, I'm just sort of sitting and I'm just sort of like casually tapping, doing things. When it comes down to I'm doing a search and I need to clear the search bar, that's the point which I have to start grabbing with 2 hands and then use my thumb to carefully yank. Got it. It's like playing Operation to get these sort of things. Mm-hmm. Those are the places where you really do miss the Retina display. And once or if they switch to a Retina grade display on the iPad Mini, that's the sort of thing where it's going to start clearing things up. So I don't think it's a deficiency that goes unnoticed throughout the whole experience. It's not as bad as I thought it would be, but it's not a substantial one.
Right. We've got, now you heard me talking earlier on about my little spat with 12 South, and Andrew was great, got straight to me on Twitter and said, we don't make crap. And they sent me through within 3 days, a brand new hover bar.
12 South is awesome.
And it solves my problem. Great. The old one was just, there was a bad one. That's the end of it. And Andrew said, just as a way of a thank you as well, what we'd like to do is give you some stuff to give away on the podcast. Wow. Thanks very much, mate. I have, for our listeners, a high rise. This is an £80 piece of kit. Effectively, it lifts your monitor up. It's specifically designed to go with iMac or with your cinema display. And inside, it's got a little pre-made shelf. It's all made out of aluminium and it all sits together. Your display sits in the top, so it doesn't go anywhere. And it gives you this huge amount of space underneath where you can put your iPhone into charge. Your iPad mini will fit in there. This thing's about 9 inches across. So you can get an awful lot of stuff in that space to sit and link to charge. Etc., whatever you want. We've got one of these to give away free of charge, 80 quid's worth. It is beautiful. It's a wonderfully made piece of equipment. It's just all fits together perfectly. All you've got to do is send in an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and tell me how many 12 South projects, how many 12 South products are available for sale in the UK? There you go. How many,
I like one of these. If you tell me, right, the answer, then I'll send you half the money and I'll keep it. What do you think?
It's sold, right. Okay, there's no competition this week.
Yeah.
I like how the shelf is adjustable inside as well. That's very
important. Yeah, you can see there just on the image I've just thrown up, you can put what you want in. You can actually fit a little Mac Mini in this thing. It's huge. It's huge, but not to the point of taking up your entire desk.
It looks brilliant.
Oh, it's a fantastic device, mate. I've got one here that I've got my own computer on to review, which we're going to give away in another couple of weeks. And it's absolutely beautiful. The picture there makes it look quite small, but it, like I say, you could fit a Mac Mini inside it quite happily. And because it's got the cheese grater grills on the front and back, you get the ventilation through it and that kind of stuff. And it just holds the monitor beautifully. Even if you haven't got an iMac or a cinema display, it's so big you could still put a standard monitor on top of it. And it's strong enough by a long, long way. 80 quid's worth.
I really want one of those.
Okay, mate. I'll have a word, see what I can do for you. It's britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and send us in how many 12 South products are on sale in the UK.
12. Have a word.
How many 12 South products are on sale in the UK? It's types of products, by the way. We're not looking for millions. How many types of 12 South product are on sale in the UK?
Oh.
There we go. Tough question. I've had loads of questions answered so far from the big show last night, but they've all been qualified. Well, if you go here and then you look there, it says, and that has to be added to that. And if you do that, then you can get it from the States, you see. So how many 12 South products are on sale in the UK? Answers to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, and you could win yourself an 80 quid 12 South high rise. Thank you very much for their support. Very kind, Andrew, and good customer services. I'm quick to slap bad customer services, but well done, good customer services. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're wonderful. We love them to bits. You support them, and then they support us. That's the way it works. So you buy product from them that you would have bought anyway. Check out their prices. See if they're more expensive or cheaper. If they're more expensive, fine. Walk away. You know, if you really think they're too pricey, then go for it. But I don't think you will. I think you'll find the prices are pretty keen. Plus, also, if you go to britishtechnetwork.com, use the click-through, and then use the offer codes, you'll find that the price gets an awful lot cheaper, an awful lot quicker. So you'll probably find that you'll end up with some really good value. Check them out, uk2.net, and they are endorsed by Andy and Natco, peeking round the corner of their plate, as you can see.
You're covering up my single with your head.
We're seeing you. Thanks, man. UKT.net. Look after him. Right, cool things.
Cool things.
Don Mack, start us off.
Right, okay. Well, I won't use the GoPro because we've talked about the GoPro earlier in the show.
And it's not a Mac product.
True, yeah. But still, you can plug it into a Mac. But anyway, no, a free iPad and iPhone app, a thing called Cool Iris, which is a great photo viewer. So basically, it links into your Facebook account, your Twitter account, linked into Google Plus. So, you know, all your different accounts where you can see photos, Smug Mug and I think called Ren as well, which I'm not familiar with, Instagram. It just gives you a really nice interface to view and browse your photos and view them up. There's a thing called Conversations in there as well, which I don't really use, but it's just a really nice interface to access tons of photos and just swipe through them. They go into the select perspective view and you can just swipe through them and then tap on a photo and it zooms up. But it's a really, really nice little application. It's free. And you can view your iPad photos as well as your iPhone photos, so it can integrate with your camera roll. But that's Cool Iris.
Excellent. Good pick. Thank you, sir. DHM, what do you have for us?
I have.
I thought he was gone.
Recommend. Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you, mate. Go ahead.
Yeah, obviously, on the Mac side of things, the sort of the best way of steering clear of Apple's calendar app seemed to be either Busycal or Fantastical, and I chose Fantastical on the Mac, which has a lot of good things to recommend it. The only downside being that it doesn't actually fill the screen, it's just a menu bar item. But they did launch the iPhone version of it, which I have purchased for £1.29. And it's kind of another independent app developer showing Apple how to do one of the standard apps on their phone. I mean, they have the calendaring app, it has everything you'd want in a far more intuitive and stylish way. It's got some really, really nice flicking between month view and a side-scrolling week view. Much more intuitive adding in of events. It's fantastic. It looks really... It looks like a really well thought out and really well put together piece of calendaring app, whereas Apple's calendar on the iPhone looks like a kind of half-hearted mess.
Groupware is definitely something that needs to be addressed in Mac, and we did say last week, as long as it's not shite, that's our new program. We want you to come up with Groupware to replace iCal and Mail and Contacts. All three together in one application, please. And then you win a prize. There we go. The prize isn't worth the development time that you'll take, but never mind.
Isn't that Microsoft?
I have no idea what that was.
Yeah, maybe, Will.
Soft Office.
You know, it's funny. I think that's the only thing I've actually understood of Will all day is just right now.
Oh,
the best
no.
thing about Fantastical is that it drops down out of the menu and you can just type a sentence and it manages to pull out all the good bits and turn it into a calendar event. So you invoke it with a keyboard command and on your computer and you can type lunch with Ewan at 2 at the pub around the corner, whatever, and it fills in all of the rest of the event for you automatically. It's fantastic.
I missed that.
I really
wish
you could drag and put it out of the menu bar to put the calendar on your screen and have it remain there whilst you go off to do something else, because it's infuriating that you pull up a calendar and then you go click into Safari to check something and ping, it disappears. That's just the only really horrible bit of it.
Yeah.
But CodeBlock's exactly the same way for the addresses. In so many ways, it's so much better than address book, and it just suffers from that, oh, I need to click and copy this, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Which is, but on the iPhone, Fantastical on the iPhone is a so much more superior calendaring experience than Apple's one that it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Andy, what have you got for us, mate?
I don't know if you talked about this last week. It was a new app from Avatron Software that came out just on Monday. But they started talking about it last week. A really cool remote login app called Air Login. There are a lot of different VNC apps for the iPad and for the iPhone that let you, you know, turn remote access on your Mac, lets you access it and control it from your iOS device. You judge each one of them based on their ability to deal with the fact that this is a device that doesn't have a mouse and doesn't have a keyboard, and yet is hooked up to a computer that uses a lot of real keyboard and trackpad shortcuts just to navigate from app to app to app. So they've done something really, really cool in giving you a bunch of different ways of faking the mouse, different ways of giving you shortcuts through the app itself for navigating through your Macintosh. For instance, I wish I had set up here. Unfortunately, I left my I unplugged my MacBook last night, and the battery ran down, so I can't give you a live demo.
But it does
cool things like whatever the frontmost app is, it will reproduce the menu bar from that frontmost app actually as iOS controls. So there's a menu bar that is live being controlled by the app itself. That then once you tap the edit menu, tap on copy, it then goes back, then essentially issues the related command back to the original Mac back on the across the network. So that makes it much, much faster. Switching between Windows, which is normally just such a tedious procedure of just, okay, let's zoom, let's try to align to this one overlapping window. It gives you essentially an iOS version of Expose, where it will just simply pull from your Mac. Here is a list of all the apps that are running, and here are a list of all the windows that are running. Just pick the one that you want on the screen, and we will once again tell the app back on the Mac to please make this document window the frontmost window. Lots of really cool things like this. The other nice thing is that they've done it's. I think that at least 30% of the creativity of iOS developers is not invested in creating the app, but in creating ways to get around Apple's limitations on how you can market your apps. So obviously, this is an app where you're going to want to try it out yourself. So the way that they've released this app is that you can use it for free forever if you're just using it to control Macs on a local network. However, if you want to try to use it outside of your network, so you're at the coffee shop or you're in a hotel room 3,000 miles away, that costs you like $15 per year, or I think it's $5 for 90 days. In which case, there is a desktop side app that will handle all the port forwarding for you. It'll handle all the firewall stuff for you. So really, once you install this app and configure it on your Mac, and then install this on your iOS device, you don't have to mess with your router. It will just simply, the two devices will just find each other and it'll just work.
And if you can't give your developer $15 for an app that does all of that, you don't deserve
it. Yeah, I mean, it's cool stuff. And if you don't have an app like this, I've been using an app called Screens, and it's one of the reasons why like I said before, I don't travel with my Mac anymore. I travel just with my iPad. And one of the reasons why is that for those 5 to 10% of those situations where I really do need a desktop grade app, I really wish I had Mac OS with me and all my files with me. Well, that's okay. I can just fire up a remote access client, connect back to my Mac, and then use that for 45 minutes to an hour to get that one thing done, or to get that file and move it into Dropbox or something like that. So it really can be a lifesaver once you have the set up and gone. So and for free to try, I mean, that's an easy deal to make. Air login. $5 for 90 days, $15 for a year, but free if you're just going to use it on your local network.
Excellent. Excellent, sir. Thank you very much. Good pick. Kelly, what have you got for us, Mrs.?
I have two picks this week. Both of them are hardware things. First, because we were giving such love to 12 South earlier, I wanted to show off my 12 South compass stand. This is for the iPad. So it's nice and low and flat, and then it pops out into a stand. And the reason this is cool is because then you can also lay these flat and use the kickstand in the back and lay it flat on a desk at a slight angle if you don't want it to be quite so vertical. It's super awesome. It's solid metal. It's really, really solid. You could really do some damage to a home intruder if you had it, if you needed to. And the tips are rubber, and the bits where your iPad actually touches the stand are all rubber. So if you don't have it in a case, it's not going to hurt anything. And it comes with, I don't have it on my desk right now. Oh, I do. It comes with a little pouch, so you don't have to worry about doing damage to all your other stuff if you drop this in your bag to take it with you, on a trip or something. And I absolutely adore it. I take it with me. Virtually every time I go somewhere, I end up dropping this in my bag. It's really awesome. So that was my bonus pick, because we were giving 12 South such love. That it's beautifully built. Everything they make is solid. I absolutely love them. My original pick was the nerdiest game of Tetris I've ever played in my entire life, and that is with the Gridit from a company called Cocoon. And it's awesome because it's just all elastic straps. And so you figure out how all your stuff fits in your elastic straps. And then what doesn't fit, there's a little zippy pouch on the back you can use. I've got a battery in here and a couple of one of my headphone jacks and another small thing that I didn't want to put in one of the straps. And then this holds all my stuff, all these $29 bits of plastic we were talking about earlier from Apple. I have a card reader, a bunch of USB cables, which side is it on? My 4G internet here, my SD card in the Listerine slot with a nice little Sanrio sticker on it. So it holds everything, and the nice thing about this is it will slide into my backpack next to my notebook and just live there and be happy, and it gives me a really easy way to be able to find everything I'm looking
for. You have way too much time, girl, on your hands.
Oh, those are awesome. I have one myself. The great thing about it is that you pull it out and you can see, instead of having just something in a little bag, you don't have to start rummaging through it to find what you want. It's all there. And the other great thing is that, like, I often kind of migrate between a little, like, sort of like purse-like iPad bag that I take when I go to the coffee shop, a slightly larger version of that same bag when I'm going out for a couple of days, and then the full laptop bag when I'm really traveling. And whenever I move from one bag to another, just dip into the one bag, take out my Grid-It, put it in the other bag. I know I've got everything there. Great stuff.
Oh, endorsement indeed. Good pick then. Mr. Swagger.
I just wanted to ask Kelly, where did she put all the Hello Kitty stickers?
Oh, they're on the backs of my adapters. See, I'll show you.
They're on the back.
Yeah, if I can, they'll show up. There they are.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah, you kind of see them. The light is weird, but yeah, I put, Kyle follows me on Instagram. I took a picture of these.
I do.
And put them on there so that, basically so that I get my $29 bits of plastic back.
Yes.
So, that's all
I had to ask. Yeah, because this is my Thunderbolt adapter with the Hello Kitty sticker on the back. No. Everybody knows that I do not always put Hello Kitty stickers on.
If it's got a Hello Kitty sticker on it, it's either hers or it's my daughter's. That's and if it comes here, I'll forward it.
If it had been if I'd had a sheet of Bats Maru stickers within reach, then it would have been Bats Maru because Bats Maru is my favorite. But the only one I had was this one, so it ended up going on my SD card holder, which used to be a Listerine strip case. So,
Kyle, what do
you
have?
Yes. It's just a very simple app this week. Tech News app, or Tech News Tube is what it's called, and it's a great little app. It's from the same people that make the Mac Hash app for news. It's a tech news thing that pulls everything into one place. You've got so many from you got. I'm trying to remember all the ones that are on there. It's games that, like, All Things D's on there, Next Web. I think Ars Technica's on there. A whole bunch of it just brings in all the feeds. It's a nice little clean app for iPhone, iPad, and you can tweet out from there, Facebook, and it's really simple. It's free. However, though, if you've got 99 cents burning a hole in your pocket, give them 99 cents. It becomes ad-free then. It's a great little app if you want to keep up to date on tech news.
Yeah, good. Excellent stuff. Cheers, mate. Mr. Green...
My one is, you know, when you're up against it and you're doing some web development and stuff like that, and you need to get a load of icons built, and the normal sort of icons that you would imagine, you know, if you go into Google and you rip them off somebody else, if you're doing it for a commercial client, then it can be a problem. So you've got a time limit and you want to build some icons that look nice and quick and easy to put together. Then the answer, if you are a Macintosh user, is Logoist.
Logoist.
It's very, very good. And you can do all sorts of stuff with it, banners and things like that, but it's particularly good. And what it says is a little, well, it doesn't say that, actually, does that? It says logo. But buttonist, I suppose, would be another description of it. Great for building buttons, great for building banners. It's a really great little app.
I can't tell you the amount of buttons that I've built in Photoshop that have taken me frigging ages that this thing would have saved the time on already.
Well, that's it, exactly it. And you can export, once you've built it in Logoist, you can export it in a PSD format to edit it in Photoshop. It doesn't support all the layers. Yeah, it does, but it doesn't support all the layers, I should say. But it does a fairly good job. So you can support export them as PNGs with... the alpha channel, and you can support them with export them as Photoshop, and if you export it as the Photoshop, the only bit that really you can't edit is the fonts and the text, but other than that, it's really good.
Who cares? Yeah, no, spot on. It's a bit expensive at $20, but
is that about £13? Is it
Logoist? Is it's probably about $13.99 mark, I would have said, but Logoist is $20 in the Mac App Store. But that would be an instant purchase for me.
Exactly. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning, and I got a client that I got to meet at 9 o'clock, and I had to get a load of stuff that I told them I'd already done ready for 9 o'clock, which I hadn't got done. And that saved me hours and hours and hours. So if you're in that sort of game, then give it a go. Brilliant. Really good.
It does look good.
No, I was looking at that exact same app just the other day. And what occurred to me is that they really should spend a few $100 to give a free copy to a couple of type designers to have them like use this product to create some sample images. Because every single sample image is, oh, Helvetica. and like a very, very like, oh, look, you've thrown every single color in the palette at this one logo. I'm glad to see that you get the specular highlights. I'm glad to see how well it does shadows and glows. But I would like to see somebody who's a professional designer who has access to more than the 8 system fonts that came with the Mac in 1994 use this tool.
No, that's fair.
You can look at my stuff. They sent me a copy and I designed some nice stuff with it. But what I did is used every color in the palette and I went for Comic Sans. Which is my choice font for a web design.
That's creativity.
Only because you didn't have Cairo installed.
Yes, it is exactly. Good. Zabino knows the key.
No, there's one. There's one pick there. Sphere Ink, which is quite a nice use of depth of field on it. Looks very good. Very good.
It's. But when you get into it, I will agree the examples that they give you are a bit tacky, but. Once you get through those and create your own stuff, it's really, really easy and really quick to create some really good-looking icons and buttons and banners.
I got that impression. I just thought that it was let down. I hope that people don't go to the site and say, ew, look at all that. If you look at what it's actually doing, it's actually some pretty cool stuff.
My pick is dead simple, dead easy. Free video converter. It's a bit expensive for Carl Swagger, perhaps. But it really is free, and it's a video converter, and it does what it says on the tin. The thing I will say about this is, if you're looking for something to make for a specific file format for a specific device for a specific size, like your Apple TV or something like that, I don't think that this is better than Handbrake, not at all. But if someone says to you, I'd like the video that you've got, and I'd really love it in high-definition WMV format, then you will sit and troll the Mac App Store looking for something and never find anything that's as good as this. It pushes out an HD version. I had a full .mov file at 19 gigabytes that I'd made for someone, and I ran it through the HD WMV output for them on a data stick, and it took it down to 1.9, and the quality of it was just incredible. So I would thoroughly recommend it for changing movies to other device formats, not necessarily doing it for your Apple TV or something like that. If you're going for outside the Maciverse, this is it. This is the application, and it's free of charge. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Go buy it.
How much is it?
It's free.
Okay.
You didn't sound very enthusiastic about that, though.
Oh, it is, mate. That application has saved my backside on no end of occasions, where I've made videos for people and gone, it's MOV. Can you do it in WMV? And I spent ages looking around, and I found that one, and I couldn't believe the quality of the WMV output on HD. It is superb, and the file size is tiny.
That sounds, to be honest, that sounds fantastic. The amount of times I've come across that, and what a pain in the ass compressor is. I mean, they should be paying us to use that.
Oh, compressor's a piece of crap. Well, don't even use it. But like I said, if you want to do stuff for your Apple devices, use Handbrake. Don't use that. Mm. You'll get glitchy stuff. It'll say, oh, I can't import that. I can't put that on your iPad. Stick with Handbrake. But do not, if you're going outside the Mac sphere, if you want something to play on your PlayStation, something to play on your Windows Media Center, that is the place to go. That is a thing to use, most definitely.
Does it do MKV?
I never tried. Need to have a look. Good question.
I'm just going to download it. I think I can afford it, so I'll just download it.
Okay, cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Mac?
Right, you can find me over at screencastonline.com. A few changes to the website this week. Jamie, who does the designs, put some nice new navigation buttons and stuff in, so check that out. But you can find all my tutorials, the access to the magazine, and also to the applications over at screencastonline.com and on Twitter as Don McCallister.
And if you don't subscribe to Screencast Online, then you're an arse. I can't put it any other way. If you're a Mac user, it's an essential, I'm afraid.
Thank you very much.
DHM, where are you, pal?
I'm in the spare room still.
I haven't done a pick off you, have I? Yes, I have.
Yes, you did.
Yes, we did. Yeah, sorry, it's so long ago. Where are you, mate? In the spare room, in the doghouse, looking like Gary Glitter.
All the bad things happening to me today. So just on the Twitters, at Dr. Happy Mac.
look out for it this week, hopefully in the next day or so. Me and the
app,
the fantastic Dan Vesma's new iPhone app will be going live. It's under review at the moment in the store.
Don knows a song about that. Be careful, though.
Sorry?
Don knows a song about that.
I know. Yes. Well, fingers crossed. I think it's relatively easy to get something past Apple, isn't it, Don?
Oh, it's easy peasy.
Yeah. So I was looking forward to doing that for a pick this week, but they didn't do it in time. So, and it won't be next week because I'm on holiday next week.
Right. Okay, mate. Have a good holiday and enjoy. We will let you know what happens. Andy I, where are you, pal?
You can find me at the Mighty Chicago Sun-Times at suntimes.com. On Twitter, I am Anatko. You can't spell my name, so I'll spell it for you. I-H-N is in Nancy, A-T-K-O. Or you can go to anatko.com where you got my infrequently but potently updated blog and stuff like that.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. We'll see you next month.
Please.
Good man. Kelly, where are you go?
Here, there, and everywhere. Mostly you can find me on Twitter. I am at Verso, V-E-R-S-O, over there. And occasionally on app.net. I need to get better about that. And you can also find me on tuaw.com, where I occasionally write and generally host the Tua podcast for the unofficial Apple weblog.
Excellent. Kyle? Where are you, pal?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger, of course, with just one G only, or at kyleswagger.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you for coming along. And Mr. Green, finally.
Close your eyes.
No, I don't trust you.
Fine, go on, close your eyes.
You put something in my mouth, I don't trust you.
No, I won't. Go on, close your eyes.
Okay, my eyes are closed.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
It's much improved, I would say.
It's not bad, is it? Let's be honest.
It's much improved. I would say it needs to be higher and a little bit more throaty.
Okay, let's give it a
look. Less bad.
These are not the droids you're looking for. I can't get rid of the depth in my voice. That's a trouble.
Well, Father wanted you to have this when you were ready.
No, that's close. Go on, Andy, do your best Donald, what's his name?
Go on then. Right, go on, Andy.
Yeah, come on, Andy. I think you might actually do a decent one.
Donald O'Connor?
No. Do your best Obi-Wan
Donald Duck,
for us.
Donald Duck. Come on. He does a great Donald Duck.
Donald Sutherland.
No, do us your best Alec Guinness, mate.
Oh, I don't know as many lines.
Well, just no, you know, all you have to say is these are not the droids you're looking for. That's it.
Well, in the scene, like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Move along.
One more time. I want to get this as a ringtone.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
That's rubbish. Along. These are not the droids you're looking for.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
I thought I could train him as well as Yoda trained me. He's more machine than man right now.
I haven't gone by that name since before you were born.
No, he talks. Alec Guinness talks here. He's got the voices here. These are not the droids you're looking for. But I can't get rid of the depth in my voice, so there you go. Anyway, see you next week.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
These are not the droids. One ping for Sully.
1007.
One ping for Sully.
My name is
Dominic. Eat your dad, Luke.
Pay attention, 007. This is for your benefit.
One droid, Vasily.
That's the one role I want in any Bond movie. I just want to say that.
We'll see you again next week with more Mac news and more updates, and we've got a special edition. We'll be live from the Philippines with not just one, but three of them.
Ooh, that sounds saucy.
Yeah. Have a good week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.